I'm Dr. Sarah, a licensed chiropractor.
And I'm Val, clinical research enthusiast and international board-certified lactation consultant.
We are passionate about helping you navigate women's health and wellness topics naturally.
We bring the information and options
so you can make empowered choices.
This is the Empowered Women podcast. Just a reminder, the information contained in this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any disease or illness or be taken as medical advice. Always check with your healthcare provider for medical advice.
Which, like, this can, I know we said we were going to talk about one thing, but I want to throw this at you.
No. So,
yeah. The night before, two nights before the opening, I got like pretty sick, and like by the grace of Archie, he like slept really long through the night, so I got a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
And I was like, maybe we should talk about some things to help you kind of prepare for like winter. Like, what do you do in your household to prepare for winter and like cold season and flu season? And
oh my god, I love this. Like, immune flu support, right?
Yes. There's a couple things I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
And a couple things I wanted to talk about specifically for what you can do, especially if you're a breastfeeding mom, because there's not a lot. I mean, a lot of the mainstream stuff, like, you really shouldn't be doing on nursing, or they recommend.
Yeah, or you can't. And then they'll say there's no evidence that supports use of X, Y, and Z either, when it's been around since like the beginning of time, but that's just me.
So the one in particular, so I want to talk about immunity and the benefits of like what you have in your house already. But starting off with like intestinal distress. So I had to stop breastfeeding, and you know this, and I'm sure I've talked about it before. I had to stop feeding Eli because I was having like major gut health issues. And I really thought that like I had a parasitic infection. And the last couple of days I've been having like pretty bad intestinal distress, and I haven't had that since having Archie. And it made me think about the fact that like, what is one thing you're not supposed to do when you have cats and you're pregnant?
Clean the litter box.
Right. Like, you're not supposed to clean the litter box because of toxoplasmosis, which is a parasite, which can like result in like pregnant failure or pregnancy. But like, if we're so concerned about it in pregnancy, why are we not concerned about it
any other time?
Any other time.
I agree.
For yourself, for your husband, for kids that are like, if you're risking not having a parasitic infection during pregnancy, why don't we talk about like normal parasitic cleanses for families, especially those who have pets and like specifically cats, right?
I think the mainstream consensus is the thought is your immune system is not working as well, I feel like, when you're pregnant. So they don't want people with compromised immune systems doing, which to your point, if you've had a compromised immune system, why should you really be cleaning a litter box?
Right.
Because they're thinking like normal, healthy people could fight off, like, which is not necessarily true. Anybody can get a parasite.
Right.
So I kind of completely understand what you're saying, and it doesn't really make sense. And I will say, parasites are a very interesting topic because there's a lot of the population that does not know they actually have a parasitic infection or have a parasite. And there are protocols for actually parasite detox, or like you said, antiparasitics or things that you can use. But parasites have been linked to like specific
so many issues,
like even like things like autism. Like, there's a physician in Canada, I want to say, who uses a bleach protocol.
Okay.
And anybody that goes there that has a child that's on the spectrum, like, they always end up finding like a parasite.
That's wild. Like, if you think about like most of the gut health protocols, like, it starts with a parasite removal. It starts with the parasite removal, because like people think parasite and they automatically think like tapeworm, and that they should have signs of like tapeworm, which is usually like severe weight loss and things like that. But most other parasites are like, quote, normal gut health feelings that people just like bypass as maybe like food intolerances.
Or right. Or there's things like extreme fatigue. Like there's a lot of symptoms that everyday symptoms, I shouldn't say normal, common complaints that people have that are typically found in if you have a parasitic infection. So it's wild to me. And I completely hear what you're saying. I've read in groups like Facebook groups, like people that have done parasite cleanses, and literally people have seen things come out of like their pores on different parts of their body.
Yeah.
Like people think like, oh, I'm just going to like do this, and when I have a bowel movement, you know, it's going to come out or like whatever. Like it's some wild stuff.
My sister-in-law and I were talking about this a few weeks ago, because she did a detox, because she did, I believe, a Dutch test, and it showed like parasites, like positive.
Oh, get the heck out of here.
And she was looking into like different programs to do. And she was like, you know, Eastern culture, they do like, it's normal for them to do 2 detoxes a year.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just common.
Yeah.
Like you can be the cleanliest person in the world, but like, just like walking on a lake shoreline or walking, grounding yourself in your backyard. Like that's all it takes.
Yeah. So but, gut health, like you're saying, is super important for, I feel like, fall in the winter, like the seasonal support. I mean, it's important all year, but you know, a lot of people know this now. A lot of your immune system resides in your gut microbiome. And I think everyone's like sick and tired of hearing this and about this and like gut health and microbiome health and the good bacteria and the bad bacteria.
It's not wrong.
No, it's not. And I think that, you know, it's become such a buzzword and so cliche, and yet it is so incredibly complex that people don't really fully understand how to keep it healthy, how to balance it, how to kind of love your gut. And, you know, it's become very popular to just go grab enzymes or probiotics, and then you are populating your gut, which if you haven't had any type of gut testing done or stool testing, you know, you don't actually even know what you're working with.
Right.
Because there could be, there could be a huge imbalance of like so many things, or you could have a parasite or multiple parasites, or you know,
candida infection that you got to clear out first.
Yeah, yeast. So you could just be feeding things and adding more bacteria that you may not necessarily need.
Yeah.
It's, you know, look.
It's not something like that you can do on your own.
Yeah. I'm the worst at self-diagnosing, but I'm actually at a point in my life where I've not taken things or stopped taking things or will only take things under the advice of a professional who has evaluated that specific thing for me. Mm-hmm. So I've cut back substantially, you know what I mean, on supplements and vitamins, even. And things that I've used over the years, because I came to find out like, hey, you don't actually need all of them.
Right.
You really need like 3 of those, right? You know,
sometimes using one thing will help you absorb another.
Yeah. And my gut was like in pretty good condition, with the exception of I had to switch my probiotic because there was like 2 byproducts that were like extremely high. And it's like, well, wait, that needs to be balanced. So like, you know, maybe I was feeding certain strains that I didn't need to be feeding.
Right.
And it's, you know, we're in an era where we can just obtain so much information ourselves. And I think it's good. And I also think it's really bad sometimes.
I do too.
And you know, we're both the type of people that are kind of, you know, in the holistic space, and we love to do our research, and we're like, okay, like, I'm going to use this. But, you know, at some point you really do have to weigh your pros and cons of using something before you really evaluate it, whether or not you need it.
And that's like the point I wanted to like kind of come across today, was like taking things, especially like maybe when nursing. So, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of those like yeast tinctures or like parasite tinctures you cannot do. And, you know, you and I talked about this when I was debating on doing this program, mm-hmm. because it can cause like specifically in this blend that on the program I was going to do, it could have caused like brain damage.
Yeah. And you shouldn't really be, I hate to say this, but you're not really supposed to do cleanses and detoxes when you are breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. It's not the time. So if it's something you really, your body really needs medically, you know, or maybe you're far enough along in your journey, like you were where you were easily able to wean Eli, mm-hmm. you know, that's different. Or if people have to wean early for some particular reason, you know, because they need something physically for themselves, but you really, that's not the time to, you know, explore that stuff when you're actually nursing.
So let's talk about this then. So I was reading online trying to find like different like things that you can do that's just in your household, mm-hmm. which is like what I really want to like discuss with people, what you can do that's just in your pantry for maybe like cleansing parasites. And one of the biggest things that kept repetitively popping up, like lots of research studies on it, was eating raw garlic.
Oh, raw garlic is so good. Have you seen the fermented garlic too? It's super good for like the immune system. It's mm-hmm. the garlic and honey. You make it at home. Yep.
That's what I was going to bring up today. My mm-hmm. my sister-in-law just made it last week.
No, super amazing for the immune system. And actually raw garlic has been documented as far as respiratory support to just be extremely cleansing, you know, for the lungs, and to be super supportive of the upper and lower respiratory system. You can Google lots of research on this, you know.
There are benefits within raw garlic that will kill eggs of parasites. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So like, and that's, I'm assuming, in your professional, that that's not going to affect your breast milk then.
I wouldn't be concerned about garlic or honey.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, no. So like, just simple household products. If you're a garlic fiend like me.
Yeah.
But when I tell you I ate 3 cloves of raw garlic this morning, and I did not realize how spicy raw garlic is, I was in tears, Val.
Oh, I bet. I bet. I can't. I know. Yeah. I have a hard time.
It was like I was cutting 12 onions.
Yeah, I believe it. That's intense.
But after 2 days of like gastrointestinal distress, I didn't have any. Nothing.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Two days of just like, oh my God, what is wrong with me? And then within 2 hours, I didn't have any bloating.
I'm going to see if we can link a recipe like from mm-hmm. somewhere online for like the fermented garlic honey.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because that was going to be my next thing. Like, obviously, you know, this protocol in particular is like doing raw garlic 2 to 3 cloves for an entire week, just on an empty stomach first thing in the morning. And a lot of people might think, well, like about breath or like body odor. There have been times where I've eaten roasted garlic and I can still taste it in my mouth like the next morning. Raw garlic does not have that effect. There's like no taste after. And like, I don't feel like I have any lingering like bad breath at all.
So cool. Another really powerful thing that people can use throughout the fall and winter months is apple cider vinegar. Mm-hmm. So apple cider vinegar doesn't really have any side effects. It's not detrimental for nursing. You can do so many things with mm-hmm. apple cider vinegar.
Have you seen the like the trend going around for fire cider?
I have. Actually, our physician, he has a newsletter, and last year he sent out an amazing recipe for like fire cider. And like I've never made it just because I'm like a just mix it with like a little bit of water and straight shoot it kind of person, or yes. I'll just take straight shots of it. Like I'll get it down. people also, Dr. Jared, which is a colleague and friend of yours, him and I have talked about using it for respiratory support in boiling water as like you inhale it, like you would if you were doing like a steam with essential oils or, you know, a facial steam or sinus steam. For those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, you get a big pot of water or a big bowl, and you make sure it's super hot, but not boiling, so it's going to burn you. And then you kind of hang over the water, you put apple cider vinegar in it, and then you drape a towel over your head, and you're doing a steam inhalation. And you can do that with ACV if you can't get it down or, you know, you don't like it. But it's incredible for any type of gastrointestinal distress as well. So
wonderful for like gallbladder health and breaking up sludge, actually, too.
It alkalizes the system. I mean, there's nothing that apple cider vinegar doesn't do.
Right.
And for those of you listening, I mean, I love the Bragg's brands. I mean, there's a lot of different brands. If you're going to get apple cider vinegar, I make sure it's like a natural brand that has the mother in it.
That's exactly what I'm just going to say.
Yeah. So you're looking for like a specific type, not just like a random.
You're looking for brand. The growth stuff at the bottom. You're looking for the growth stuff.
It's really good. And yeah, we love it. We always have it on hand. And you know, it's super yummy in salad dressings.
Yep. That's what I do because I can't shoot it back. It gives me indigestion, like, and which is ironic because a lot of people use it for indigestion. If I do it, it gives me like straight up heartburn, and I need heartburn. Yeah. So what I do instead is I put it in dressing with lemon and like salt, pepper, and garlic.
Like, it's like our go-to stomach upset. My mom had food poisoning one time, and my stepdad was doing research online and he discovered this, like, and we have all done it since. It's like whenever there's any type of like GI issue, you start taking shots of it, and it is literally magic.
You know, it's funny that you say anytime, like I learned this from my chiropractor. Anytime he felt a cold coming on or eat like upper respiratory, he would juice an onion and do a shot of onion juice.
Oh, I can't imagine doing that, but
I've done it. It works.
Is it yummy?
No.
Yeah, I'm like, absolutely, I can't imagine juicing an onion, but there's so many health benefits actually to onions as well.
Mm-hmm. I've gotten up in the middle of the night to juice an onion because I felt like garbage. And by the morning,
you're fine.
Totally fine. Totally fine. So many like antimicrobial benefits, antioxidant benefits to onions. And a lot of people will say like to cut onions out because of nightshades, but
yeah, I've heard that too. I was listening to a podcast recently about certain foods and like fat composition in the body, and onions, especially the outer layers. So the layers that a lot of people inadvertently get rid of, like when they're after they're peeling it, have like compounds in it that are great for helping you convert your white fat to brown fat.
Oh, interesting.
Which is like more of the fat that you want. Yeah. Super interesting. But
I always like discard it because it gets stuck to the other stuff.
It's so hard to like not get the outer layers off. I know, after you get that skin. So I can imagine juicing it. Maybe you could get a little bit more of that if you just get that light skin off. I don't know.
It sounds disgusting. It is disgusting. It burns pretty badly, but it like it kicks it. It just kicks it right off.
One of my other favorite things is honey.
Mm-hmm.
So honey is like, you know, you can look this up. I'm not making claims that aren't out there, just so that everyone's clear. We're always trying to be compliant. Honey is a natural antibacterial, virucidal. Like, it's a very, I mean, it's been around since as long as we've been around on this planet, right? And people have used it as a natural antibiotic, you know, forever. It is really, really great for any type of respiratory support, especially in children when you can't use cough syrups.
Yep.
Or if you look at a lot of the natural brands or like for children, they have honey.
Why would you want to use cough syrup anyways? It's full of dyes.
I don't understand.
It's full of dyes.
There's so many options.
Gross. I mean, I understand if your child. No, I don't understand. Well, I understand if they're less than one and you want to not use honey and blah, blah, blah. But as soon as you can, like, don't use that garbage. It's just not sweet.
Even if I have, like, irritation at night or, like, there's a cold and I'm, like, feeling, like, coffee, you know, I go down and I take a teaspoon of honey. I just swallow honey. It calms. It's just, you know, magic.
Well, it like it's cloying to begin with, so it like naturally starts to like coat that throat and starts to kill everything in there, which is exactly what he wanted to do. But I will never forget Gambit. We were taking him to the dog park and he got kennel cough. And we gave him honey for like a week and it went away, and then every time we opened that cabinet
he wanted honey.
And it was like fancy honey that we got from a shop because we didn't have anything else. It was like this mint honey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's actually Dave Asprey. So for those of you that don't know him, he has a podcast. Do you know who he is?
Yeah.
The Bulletproof Coffee guy. Like that's how most people probably know him. He's being like he's like even more strict than paleo.
He's wild.
He was a former vegan. Did you know that?
I don't know. No.
Yeah, he was a former vegan and now they're like so pro the other direction.
Yeah.
But his podcast had always been one of my favorites. I've read his Bulletproof Diet book. Chris and I were big in the coffee with the butter. I use a ghee now that Chloe recommended. That's delicious if I want coffee. And he actually says, you know, the best thing you can do is take a teaspoon of honey before you go to bed because your brain needs that glucose spike when you're going to sleep at night. And he said you could get better sleep that way. And your
brain ice cream before night. Just kidding.
You're like, that's why it works. No. but I don't know if there's any, like, I haven't looked into any research on that or like scientific proof, but he's a big advocate for saying to people, like, just take a little, you know, a little bit of sugar like that before you go to sleep. And
I have heard him talk about that before.
Yeah. I used to do it. I'll put it like if I'm having tea.
We do tea.
Yeah. Then maybe I'll put it in there. So that's another thing. Another going with the honey, and you can do this to support the respiratory system, is lemon or lime juice.
That's what I was
thinking. Lemon or limes, like all year. For me, or just the way I start my morning anyway, in warm water, but you can use them to support your immune system and the respiratory system, you know, in these upcoming months. And you can mix it with water, you can mix it with the honey. Like, there's so many ways to use it. I don't know how you do, but
one thing that I was going to say, especially for like the parasitic removal, was another one was cloves. So taking a tablespoon of ground up cloves warmed in water 3 times a day helps with pinworms and parasitic removal.
It's really supportive of the immune system too.
Immune system, any kind of like warming spice, right? Mm-hmm. So like immune system, gut health. But we've been doing cloves with a knob of ginger and like a lemon steeped in water for like boiling water for like 30 minutes because Mike usually starts it and I put RT down and then I have it after, but like all the warming like essences of that, not only great for the digestive system, good for liver cleansing, and then also like parasitic removal.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of citrus for alkalizing the system. And I know I've said that word a bunch of times on this podcast with the apple cider vinegar and the citrus, but for everyone listening, disease doesn't like an alkaline state, especially cells that tend to go awry or off their track for reproduction. Or maybe I shouldn't say reproduction. So alkalize. The best thing you can do is alkalize your system. And that's probably one of the greatest things you can do for your immune system. Mm-hmm. and just your overall well-being in general. Sugar is probably one of the biggest disruptors of an alkaline system, and it acidifies, or yes, acidifies your system. So it puts you, your pH, in the other direction.
And some people might think like, okay, well, if I don't want an acidic environment, why would I take apple cider vinegar, which is acidic? And it's like, well, acid doesn't equal acid in the body. Mm-hmm. When you take acid, you're creating a more alkalized system. Yeah, your body has to negate it.
And if you aren't picking up what I'm throwing down, I can make the statement, I guess. It's on, you know, it's out there. The research is out there. They discovered a very long time ago, decades ago, that cancer doesn't survive in an alkalized environment. Yeah. So there when we say, like, try to alkalize your system a lot, it's just so
it helps
good.
Your cells.
Yeah. It's die so off good better or not. Sort of overall well-being. Yeah,
there are protocols. I think there was a doctor in Mexico that when people didn't want to go through treatment up here, he did his own protocol in Mexico, and essentially it was like cut out all sugar because tumor cells cannot survive without sugar.
Yeah, there's lots of institutes like that in the U.S. you can go to.
Yeah.
Detox if you want alternative therapy.
Right. I can hear my child screaming for a boob. So one more thing I want to talk about, and this is a huge wife's tale, but I've used it for Eli in the past. I think we've talked about it before, like at the clinic, putting slices of potatoes in socks. Have you heard this?
No, but the warm, that whole wet sock theory, or that whole wet sock protocol, which doesn't always involve potatoes, is a whole thing for bringing fevers down for the body and detoxing the body when there is, you know, you're not well. So wait, tell me about the potato thing.
You take a slice of potato and you put it in your socks when mm-hmm. you're sick, and you sleep the socks on, and it will literally draw toxins out of your feet.
That's kind of crazy.
So I've done it with Eli, and overnight the potatoes will turn like black. And then like you put it in their socks every night until they come out not black anymore. And it works.
So wait, I want to say this because it's just a theory. I have nothing to back this up, but piggybacking off of what you said, we've talked about nightshades and how some people don't do well with nightshades, and potatoes are a nightshade. Right. However, I'm wondering if that just justifies the need to eat potato. You need to be eating potatoes.
Well, I'm Irish, so I need to eat potatoes. Because
I love potatoes. I'm not going to lie. It's what I survived on my first trimester with Jude because I couldn't keep anything down and I was craving them like crazy.
Potatoes are my life.
I would just heat it up like, you know, a baked potato.
Yeah.
Literally. That's all I could eat, and berries. And there is a guy, I want to say he's in Australia. I forget what I think I heard him on the Ritual podcast. I love that. I always talk about that podcast. But he was doing an experiment where he was just living off of potatoes for a while.
I've heard about this. Yeah.
Yes. And it's incredible because he's constantly had his was under the care of a physician, so nobody freak out. And he was always having his blood work checked and everything else. And he lost all this weight. He was a distance, I think he was an endurance athlete or distance athlete, and he felt amazing. And none of his like vitamin, mineral, like everything was just, his blood work was beautiful. It's like the perfect food.
That's why when the Irish famine happened, they couldn't handle it. It's because they were missing their potatoes.
Eat your potatoes, friends.
Eat your potatoes and put them in your socks.
And you need to go nurse your baby. So I feel bad.
So from what you learned from this podcast, warm spices. Eat your raw garlic. It will not make you stink. It does not give you bad breath. Juice an onion. However, I will admit that will give you a pretty nasty, nasty breath.
Eat some onions.
It's worth not feeling like garbage. And then, you know, just like Val said, using limes, lemons, citrus, there's a reason. I mean, outside of it just tasting good and getting the honey in you, I mean, it's a major boost of vitamin C without using those packets. Mm-hmm. So we'll link the fermented honey, because two birds with one stone, you're getting antimicrobial, antibacterial from honey and the garlic itself. And think about it. If you have pets and you have dogs, cats, dogs bring in a ton of crap on their paws every day. So if they're in your bed, on your couch, you have cats, indoor, outdoor cats, like, might be worth looking into doing some kind of parasitic removal.
Or at least working with a practitioner that, if you think you might have, or you just want to get checked for them, see if there's any active parasitic infections.
There's no reason to not even just get checked. I mean, like, do you really want little passengers in your intestines? No. Especially if you're doing everything and you're like, why are these things not working? Maybe that's something to look into.
Well, this was fun. Yeah. And I like it because, like you said, it's all stuff around the house, won't affect people's breastfeeding journey or your supply. Again, none of those things we mentioned should have any negative effect on that.
Maybe your breast milk's a little bit spicy. I don't know. Do you remember that meme going around at one point? It's like, why is it spicy? Did you see that?
I don't, my kids don't care what it tastes like.
They're like, this is great. A little spice mom thing.
I'm pretty sure fire could be coming out of my nipples and they would both
still be like, ooh, like, fire cider. All right. Thanks, Val.
Have a good night.
Sorry for switching it up on you.
No, it was fun. This is a good one. And I feel like it's super useful because it's all things that people can easily get and you're not going to spend a ton of money. Okay. None of the stuff
you have garlic, onion, honey, and potatoes in your house right now.
Or you could get it super inexpensive at like the grocery store.
Right. Exactly.
So yeah, this was a good one. And I'm glad you brought this up.
Perfect.
All right. I will talk to you soon, Sarah.
Bye.
Bye.
If you enjoyed this podcast and want to hear more like it, make sure you subscribe to the Empowered Women Pod and rate us 5 stars. Please feel free to also write a review on the podcast. It really does help to spread the Empowered Women message, and it moves us up in the podcast rankings. Plus, we love to hear from our listeners. You can follow us on Instagram at Empowered Women Pod, or if you have a question and want to reach out to Val or I, you can email us at empoweredwomenpod@icloud.com.